Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Once you find Ephesians chapter 4, I want you to turn to verse number 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Then stand with me, if you would please. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. The Bible says this: "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath, and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." The text verse is verse 32. "And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." Look back at me, if you will. The sermon is called "Be Ye Kind." It's a very simple sermon, but I wanted to remind us of our behavior as Christians. Let me pray. Father, bless us tonight. Thy Spirit is necessary. We need the supernatural touch from heaven. Lord, we came here as simple, sinful, lowly human beings. We can leave here knowing that the God of the universe took interest in us. Show us thy power, show us thy strength, and might the Holy Spirit reach deep into our hearts and affect our living. May we leave here living better than when we came, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. Let me tell you this. Notice there in verse 30, the Bible talks about not grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Then it talks about bitterness and wrath and anger. And then God says to us such a wonderful verse. He said, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." That's a powerful verse. The Bible tells us we're to be kind one toward another. We're to be tender-hearted one toward another. We're to forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Let me say this, if I may. We're to be kind. I'm to be kind for my sake, and I'm to be kind for your sake, and you're to be kind for your sake, and you're to be kind for my sake. But the ultimate reason you're to be kind is for Christ's sake. You're to be kind for the sake of Jesus Christ, for the cause of Jesus Christ. Another catastrophe has occurred in America. I'll read to you a clipping from the newspaper. You heard about it, and I'll remind you of it. In Roseburg, Oregon, the alleged gunman who opened fire at a community college on Thursday, October 1, 2015, killing at least 9 and wounding 7 before being shot dead by police, and I'm not sure they figured out if the police shot him or he shot himself, but it said he was armed with 6 firearms, a flak jacket, during the attack. Authorities have found a total of 13 weapons connected to the gunman. It says authorities have not disclosed any possible motives for the attack, but several witnesses pointed to the possibility of religious hatred. The local newspaper, the News Review, quoted a student named Courtney Moore as saying that she was sitting in a writing class when she saw a man enter the classroom. She said she saw her teacher shot in the head. Moore told the newspaper that the gunman asked people to stand up and state their religion before he opened fire upon them. Another student, Anna Bolin, age 18, recounted to family members that the gunman asked people in her class to rise, state their religion. Her grandmother, Janet Willis, told the Los Angeles Times if they said they were Christians, they were shot again or shot. And the grandmother told the newspaper that Bolin had been shot in the back. That's a sad thing. It's a sad thing that something like this would happen in the United States of America. It's not the first time. Because there's hatred. Because there's sin, because there's wrong. Obviously, this shooter had not been born again. That kind of behavior is sad. It's sad to think that anybody, even a lost person that did not know Jesus Christ, would act that way. But let me tell you something, folks. I'm sad the way I watch Christians treat one another. That's a catastrophe. But you know that there are all sorts of Christians that they also are very demeaning to one another. And there are Christians that are unkind to one another. And there are Christians that are unkind in this world. Now, I guess if if I were to understand, and I don't, but if I were to understand a shooting like that, I'd say a lost man that did not know Jesus Christ as his Savior, that was caught up in the world and all the filth and the nasty stuff of the world, I suppose, as we can see, it's possible that a lost person would behave that way. But I watch behavior out of Christians that to me is appalling. You look at a lost person and you say, how nasty. Well, I think sometimes we need to glance over at Christianity and look at the behavior that Christians have toward one another and toward others. And I think we ought to be a little disgusted with that. They say the Christian army is the only one that kills its own wounded. I want our church, I want it to be a bit like a hospital. I want it to be a place of safety. I don't want us to hurt each other. I want the people to be able to come in out of the world and get the help that they need. I want them to be healed. I want it to be a place of safety. And we're not going to accomplish that unless we practice Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another. Be ye kind one to another. Oh, the sermon's not complicated. It's quite simple. But I want you to listen to me tonight. I really believe this. I believe when you believe the Bible like we do, if you're a guest here tonight or new in our church, this is an old-fashioned Baptist church. We're not looking for any new trends or anything like that. We're not looking for a new Bible or a new style music. We have old-time gospel music, old-time preaching, hellfire, damnation kind of preaching. We believe the old-time way. We believe in being different than the world. We believe in acting different than the world. But folks, when you have what they call standards and you have convictions, you must make sure that the world also sees your love, your compassion, your tenderness. They must see both. Jesus was a man of great conviction. Jesus was a man of purity. Jesus believed it. He stood for what he believed. He stood for right. He did it very dogmatically. But at the same time, Jesus also said, don't hinder the children from coming unto me. Jesus said, you need to love and you need to be good to people. And he took care of people and he was watchful over people. And we need to achieve that. And as an old-time religion church that's going to have standards and convictions and separation, we have to balance it out with an appropriate treatment of people in regard to kindness. You've heard me say this before. If my position in the Bible offends you, there's nothing I can do about that. I must stand where God's told me to stand. But if my disposition offends you, I'm to be working on that. I'm to be working on me so I'm a proper representative, not only in doctrine, but in attitude and behavior. And I'm to take on the fruits of the Spirit, where I'm to be gentle and patient and long-suffering. I'm to take those on in my life. And let it be said of the membership of the Twin Rivers Baptist Church that we stand for right, and we stand for right the right way. The right way. This sermon, be kind. Be ye kind. Folks, could I recommend to all of us that, number one, we not mistreat the new Christians that come to our church. They just get saved. They're brand new Christians. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you, be kind. You know, young Christians, we would call them infants, if you will. They're baby Christians. Babies, you know what happens? You bring a baby into service and they'll cry out. You know, and you know what can happen sometimes? You get a new Christian and they speak up or say things that they should not say. Why? They don't know how to control themselves. They've not been disciplined as far as how to behave in church. Babies, they don't always know what to do. Folks, listen, when the new Christians come, may I recommend to you that you're friendly to them. Make sure that you be understanding of them. They're going to have some habits going on in their life. And they've had those habits all their life. And they've not taken care of those habits. They just got saved. They just got started in their new life for Christ. And we've got to learn not to mistreat the new Christians that are in our church. I know churches that will not grow because they expect everybody to be a finished product very quickly. And you either get it all together just like that, or you'll get virtually driven out of the church because you don't fit in. Now, let me explain something to you. Somebody was patient with you when you were a baby, when you were both a physical baby as well as a spiritual baby. And we've got to be patient. We've got to be kind. Could I recommend something to all of you? And I wish you'd listen to this. Don't you preach standards to the baby Christian. Let me do it. If you'll let me do it, I'll be gentle. I'll be careful. I take my time. Sometimes the preacher knows a little something about helping someone to make those transitions of life a little better than the individual. And I know we say, well, preacher, I believe you ought to be separated in this area. And so do I. But you got to be careful how you say it, when you say it, and to who you say it. They might not quite be ready for that. You say, well, I'm going to take my stand. Then I'll take my stand with you and say that you're a knucklehead for blurting out your mouth before it was the proper timing. If you'll let me, I can help us with it. So I'm saying don't mistreat the new Christians. Listen, if a new Christian comes in here and they just had a bad morning and they're not kind to you and they storm in here, listen, you be kind back to them. When my kids were growing up, if one of them hit the other, mom would say, just because your brother hit you does not mean you're supposed to hit your brother. If a young Christian comes in, and let's let the door fall shut right here. We have people coming in and out. Brother Robert, will you get up and just let the door fall shut for me? Listen, if Christians come in, a young baby Christian comes in, and if they come in and they're having a bad morning, you know what you're supposed to? Be kind to them anyway. You look at them and you say, I wish they didn't have that attitude. Well, you know, Jesus probably wishes they didn't have that attitude, but you don't need to tell them how you feel. Just be kind to them. Be a good example to them. Hey, if a young Christian does not quite understand me, guess what? I don't quite understand me. And I am going to tell you, there are going to be people that are going to come to our church and they're going to hear me say certain things and preach certain things. And they're going to say, boy, I just don't get that. Now, you be kind. You be gentle. I want you to be loyal. I don't want you to agree with them. You know, if we could work it out that we all stick together on this thing. But listen, there are going to be times when they won't understand. Why? It's brand new to them. You know something? Not every church in the country preaches like we do the old-time way. And they don't tell the truth like we try to in the old-time way. So people are going to come here and be a little bit shocked, and they're not going to understand. But we've got to be patient with them. Let people grow. I like this. Some of you, especially some of you maybe with a couple years on you, will like this. Lady said, I felt like my body had gotten totally out of shape, so I got my doctor's permission to join a fitness club and start exercising. I decided to take an aerobics class for senior citizens. I bent, I twisted, I gyrated, I jumped up and down, I perspired for an hour. And by the time I got my sweats on, the class was over. You know something? There are going to be people that are going to come in here and they're going to sweat and grunt and some of them will get frustrated. Be patient with them. Listen, they've not heard it like this before. They're not used to it. They're brand new Christians. So may I say, be ye kind one to another to the new Christians in the church. Secondly, may I ask that we all be kind to the lost. To the lost. Be ye kind one to another, the Bible says. You know, some of you may have to understand something. The only Bible some folks will ever read is your life. They're going to read in your life. They might not sit down and open up the Bible and read the Gospel of John or the book of Romans. They're going to read your life. So be kind to the lost. Be good to the lost. You know, Romans chapter 2 verse 4 says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Don't cause the lost to reject Jesus because your behavior gives them a wrong impression of what Jesus is. You and I are to be like Christ. We're to behave like Christ. And so when you're around the lost people, behave like Christ. Let's not give them a bad impression of Jesus Christ by looking at our life. I would tell you this. If you want to get people saved, you don't start out telling them about all the separation issues of Christianity. You know where you start? You start out telling them that Jesus is the Savior. That's where you start. Boy, I have watched people that would like to get others saved. Boy, they start talking to them about all their bad habits and so many things. Where you start is with the love of God. And it's not hard to convince people that they're sinners. You don't have to give them a 100-point list of everything that they're doing wrong. Be patient with the lost. You're more apt to get them saved if you're kind to them as you present the gospel. I had a lady, not here in this church, but I had a lady that she would go out soul winning with our church. Every Thursday she would go out. And I watched, and it wasn't long until the other ladies in the church were not wanting to go visit with her. We'd pair her up with someone, and the two of them would go out. And then the next week I'd say, Mrs. So-and-so, would you go with Mrs. So-and-so? And I would watch her partner go, oh. And I could tell something was up. Well, sooner or later, one of those ladies got the courage to come and see me, and they said, preacher, I'm not trying to be critical, and I'm not trying to be unkind, but I would rather not go soul winning with Mrs. So-and-so. I said, ma'am, could you tell me what the problem is? She said, oh, I'm embarrassed to tell you, and I don't want to hurt her, and I love her. She said, but you know, every time I go soul winning with her, she'll be presenting the gospel. And if somebody says they don't want to get saved, she'll say, fine, go to hell, that'll be your problem. Turns around and walks away. She said, and preacher, I am so embarrassed because I feel like it just closes the door immediately. And if we went to try to visit that lost person the next week, that they wouldn't listen to us. And I realize, now folks, that's not the way you do it. You always leave the door open for the next person to come along. And we just are sowing some seed. It is God that gives the increase. And look, be ye kind to the lost. Be ye kind to the new Christian. Hey, be ye kind to the hurting that come to the hospital called the New Testament Church. A lot of people are hurting. Matter of fact, most every adult in here is hurting. They don't always advertise it. And some hurts are bigger now than what they were a couple years ago. And yet there are some that their biggest hurt is yet on the horizon. But I'm here to tell you, you just don't understand. It may be that there's somebody hurting and you don't even realize it. And so I say, be ye kind one to another. In what area? Be kind to the people that are hurt. I told you, I believe that the church is a hospital. I don't think this is a museum. We're not museum pieces. This is a hospital. This is where we help people and get people emotionally healed and relationship healed. And I think God even does physical healings, but I do believe that God can heal us spiritually, emotionally. And that's what the hospital's all about. But that means this, there are people that'll come here that are not feeling well. You're going to have people, listen, you can make a big mistake by judging people's heartaches. Their heartaches. You look at somebody, they're going through a tough time, and you say, well, I'll bet you God's getting them. You listen to me, you have no right to pass judgment on anybody about the hardship that's taking place in their life. You don't know why they're having a hardship in their life. God is the only one that knows that. And so if I were you, I would just pray for them and be for them. But don't you pass judgment on somebody. You say, but preacher, I know just a few weeks ago they were misbehaving in a big way. And now it is 2 weeks later and their life is starting to fall apart. You don't know what God's doing there. And you don't know that it is discipline. I believe this also. I think there's sometimes God allows certain challenges, health challenges, and other challenges in somebody's life, not because that somebody did wrong, but because God is trying to teach somebody else from that person's challenge. So be ye kind to the hurting. Hurting people, let me tell you something about hurting people. Hurting people can be short with you. Hurting people can be brash. They can be unkind. You ever get around somebody that's in a lot of physical pain and they kind of snap at you a little bit and that's not because they were angry with you. The pain had affected their attitude. The pain had affected them. And you're going to find people that are going through hardship and they might get a little brash or a little short or a little tense. But you know what? It's not that they're mad at you and it's not that they hate you and they're not that they're angry with you. They're in pain. And hey, let me say to all of us, let's learn how to respond properly to each other even when we're in pain, but just in case somebody was a little rude to you while they're hurting, you give them a free pass and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Do you know that sometimes a rough disposition comes because someone's in a lot of pain? They're in pain physically. They're in pain emotionally. You look at them and you say, they're just mean. You know, sometimes they're not mean, they're hurting. And I say, be ye kind one to another. Number four, let's be kind to people's families. To people's families. Let me say something to you. If you don't like some man in the church, now I think we ought to love each other. I think we ought to love each other. I'm not agreeing. As far as I know, we have none of this in our church, and I don't want any of it in our church. But if you're a man and you don't like some man in the church, may I say it would be wrong for you than to dislike his wife and dislike his kids, and because maybe you and a man got at outs with each other, what in the world sense does it make because you're at outs with one person to take it out on other people just because they have the same last name? That's ridiculous. That's childishness. That's juvenile. That sounds like something they do on the grade school playground. The Christians ought not act that way. So I say to you, be kind to one another. Be kind to people's families. If there's some lady that for some reason you don't like her, don't be unkind to her daughter. That's silly. You know, there's some of you, you don't like someone, so everybody that has their last name, you're down on that last name. That's ridiculous. That's an injustice. That's not right. That's not Christian. That's not mature. It's juvenile. I have just watched. Hey, look, if someone's husband, maybe men, someone's husband is unkind to you, that doesn't mean you ought to be unkind to his wife. But you know what? I've watched people mad at one and take it out on other family members. I'm going to say to you, that kind of junk will destroy a church just like that. Just like that. We ought to be good to one another. And we ought to be kind to one another. We're to be kind to the people around our church, our families. We're to be kind to the hurting and kind to the new Christian and kind to the lost. Next, let me say number five. Let's be kind to people whose personalities differ from ours. Personalities that differ from ours. Be ye kind one to another. You know that not everybody's like you, and the rest of us are glad. Everybody's not like me, and you all say, and we're all glad. I understand that. So you say, well, preacher, exactly which personality is the right one? That's easy. Christ's. Christ's, or mine, one of the two. Learn humility from me if you learn anything. I've got it down. I'm at the top of the list. Listen, which personality is the right one? The personality of Jesus Christ. We are all to be becoming like Jesus Christ. But folks, let me tell you how petty people are. If they don't like your personality, look, you could be doctrinally correct, faithful, and doing right. But your personality is not what someone likes, and so they don't like you. Well, I've got news for you. People that do right and act right, even if their personality is a little odd, you're to love them and be kind to them. Be ye kind. You say, well, how do we accomplish the personality of Jesus Christ? Well, you keep your nose in the book, get your nose out of Facebook, and get your nose in this book, and then you'll begin to develop the personality of Jesus Christ. You become like the people you spend time with. You spend enough time with Jesus, guess who you'll be like? You spend enough time with all the gossips, guess who you'll be like? You'll be like the gossips. You spend enough time with negative people, you'll be like the negative people. You spend enough time with lazy people, you'll be lazy. You spend enough time with hardworking people, you become a hardworking people. That's all there is to it. Look, if someone's quiet, they're quiet. Did you know there's nothing wrong with being quiet? Now, I think there are times we ought to speak up and speak for Jesus. But I'm saying, if someone's backwards and quiet and meek, there's nothing wrong with that. You say, well, I just kind of don't like that. That's not your call. Matter of fact, you're wrong for not liking it. We're to be kind to the quiet people. You say, they're loud. Now look, I think someone can be loud and be obnoxious. And y'all looking up here at me. a person can be loud, but that's not necessarily sinful. And I know there's propriety. Like I said, there's a time when the quiet should speak up, and there's a time when the loud should be quiet. But you say their personality's loud, and they talk loud, and that just bothers me, and I don't like them. You listen to me. They may be a better Christian than you. They may be obeying the Bible more than you. They may be in church more than you. They may be giving more than you. They may be witnessing more than you. But because they talk loud, you don't like that personality, so they're bad. You're wrong. You're wrong. Be kind to people whose personalities are different than yours. Whether it's a quiet personality, be patient with them. Whether it's a loud personality. Hey, there are people that have very strong personalities. I have a family member that when she asks me a question, she always ends the sentence with a period. She'll say to me, "You're not going to do that, are you?" I'm thinking, you are not asking me a question. You just told me what I'm going to do to be in good graces with you. Now listen, there are strong personalities. And listen, sometimes there's reasons why. You say, that lady seems to have a strong personality. You don't know what she's been through in life. You don't know that she hadn't had to tend to herself and hadn't had to make it on her own. And I'm going to tell you, I think all of us better watch it. If you have a strong personality, it can get out of hand. And I am not justifying you being strong in a sinful way. I am saying to the rest of us, if somebody has a strong personality, but they're doing right, let's be careful that we love them and that we're kind to them. Again, if they're strong, I think they ought to learn to be kind. I want them to learn. This is not a justification for being too quiet, a justification for being too loud. I'm not trying to justify being too strong in personality. I'm saying to you and I, our response ought to be Christian. We ought to be kind toward those people. And I'll have to tell you, if all people were soft-spoken, backwards, and just tender 24/7, you'd have no leaders. I happen to believe somebody can be strong and still love. Jesus was. But watch it. Sometimes you find someone, they've got a strong personality, and you just want to write them off. I don't like that. Well, you listen to me. Strength is necessary in the Christian life, and it might even be you could learn a little something from them. But at least, be ye kind one to another, Ephesians 4:32. Hey, there are some people that have weak personalities. They're almost a doormat. Yeah, they can be convinced to do anything at any time. They're just a weak follower. Now, I'm going to say to everybody in here, don't be a follower to the point of doing wrong and doing anything at any time with anybody because you don't have the courage to say no. Don't be that weak. But may I say to the rest of us, if you say, I wish that person would just stick up for themselves a little bit, hey, be kind to them while you're wishing that. Don't be unkind to someone that has a weak personality. You say, Brother Owens, that person right there, they are just odd. I look for many words to use in this point. Odd. You can analyze odd for yourself. How many of you have ever known someone that was just odd? Would you put your hand up? And keep it up. How many of you are odd? Okay, all right. You can put your hands down. Thank you. You know, every once in a while, you look at somebody and you're around them and you say, you know, they're a bit, maybe a bit of a social misfit to a degree. They don't know how to handle themselves, or they've just got an odd way about them. And I knew a guy that every time you would get into much of a conversation with him, he had a way to raise this eye and this side of his mouth and he'd go like this. He's looking at you and I'm thinking, man, don't look at me like that. You look like a dog that's been hurt in a traffic accident. You're getting ready to bite me. You know, you look at me like this. And it was his way of concentrating. But can I tell you something? He's one of the greatest guys in the world. He was very giving. I mean, he was faithful. But he had this way. The way he carried himself was just odd. Now, folks, do you realize that when Jesus was on this earth, don't you think that the odd people showed up? And by the way, he loved them. He died for them. And sometimes those are the people that have been through a lot. They've been abused or they've been hurt. They've been beat. They've been cheated on. They've been kicked around in life. And I'm going to tell you something so you understand your pastor. The odd people are as welcome here as you are. The poor people are as welcome here as are the rich people. And the people that maybe have handicaps, either whether they be physical, emotional, or in any area of life, they're welcome here. You say why? Jesus said we ought to love everybody and be ye kind. Listen. I believe that we need to learn to be kind to people that are odd in their personality. It takes all the different personalities. You realize when you look through the Bible, you see all sorts of personalities. I mean, there was a point when Jesus spake not a word. He was very, very quiet. I'm sure somebody might have thought, you ought to be speaking up right now, Jesus. He didn't say a word. Now, the Apostle Peter, there's a strong personality. Jesus had gone around saying, y'all love everybody. Next thing you know, Jesus just told him to love everybody. Peter pulls out his sword and whacks a guy's ear off. And then Jesus said, Peter, what's wrong with you? Peter picks up the ear and hands it to Jesus, and Jesus heals it, and Peter puts his sword up and probably walked away saying, I got him good, didn't I? That's the way Peter was. But I'll tell you this, Peter got it under control and preached and seen 3,000 people saved at the day of Pentecost. You needed that guy. Now, I'm not glad Peter did wrong, but I'm telling you, I'm glad the people said, we're going to keep on loving him because he's trying and he's hanging in there and he's growing. Hey, he may make himself into something someday. He did. He became the first pope. No, he didn't. At be ye kind. Be ye kind one to another. Hey, be unkind to the people that are fallen. The people that fall. You say, what kind of fall? They fall into sin. They get into a mess. So you know, we all fall into sin. Some deeper than others. Some more frequently than others. But everybody does. Be ye kind one to another. Hey, when our new people, you're going to have people that are going to join our church and they're going to try to get on the saddle to ride and they're going to fall. You know what? Be kind to them. Be kind to them. You don't need to pass judgment on them. I thought you got saved. What's wrong with you? Listen, Jesus could say that to you every day of your life. You be kind to them. As our church grows, we're going to get new converts in. And they're going to fall. And they're going to try and they're going to fail. And then they're going to try and they're going to fail. Don't mistreat them when they mess up. Encourage them. I'm not telling you to agree with their sin. We don't agree with sin. We hate sin. But we love the sinner. You got to help them get back on their feet. Don't push them down. Help lift them up. Use your tongue to say good and right, and don't use your tongue to try to destroy them. And so the new Christians, when they fall, they need us to be ye kind. But not only that, even some of the well-trained, older seasoned Christians are going to get into trouble. Look, self-inflicted wounds. I'm talking about the you knew better wounds. You've been taught better wounds. They're going to have them too. That includes me and you. Listen, there's somebody that's been around for years, been saved for years, and you're going to say, if you're not careful, you'll say, I expected better from them, and then you're going to tear into them with your gossip and everything. You listen to me. You need to be kind, even to the seasoned veteran that's a Christian that has a tough time, that falls. These are people that have been in church before. Can I tell you something? The devil works pretty hard on some of them. He works pretty hard on them. You know, if they're long-term Christians now, you know, well, they might be deacons or they might be Sunday school teachers or workers around the church, and they've established reputations as Christians in the community. Well, don't you think the devil's going to shoot at them? Now, I'm not saying I agree with their doing wrong. I don't. I don't think you ought to sin. I think you ought to do right. But I do think this, you and I as Christians, we're to treat people right. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Be ye kind to the new Christians as they're growing in our church. Be ye kind to the lost so we can win them. Be ye kind to the hurting and don't misjudge them. Be ye kind to people's families and don't take someone's mistreatment of you out on the entire family. That's not fair. That's not just. Be ye kind to people that have different personalities than you. And maybe they're soft, or maybe they're loud, maybe they're hard, maybe they're weak, maybe they're odd. Be ye kind to those people. God said, be kind to people. Be kind to when people, the untrained people, fall, the new people. But be kind when the people that have been around for years fall. And might I recommend to you that you're kind to your enemy? I won't go to all the scripture, but I could read scripture for a good long time where the Bible says, love your enemy. Love your enemy. Do good to those that despitefully use you. Now, it's easy to say amen and shake your head up and down while I'm preaching it, but tomorrow when your enemy rises up against you, that's when you need to be obeying the scripture. Don't treat your enemy the way they treat you. I don't slander my enemies. My enemies may slander me. I pray that I don't make my enemy's day miserable. I don't want my enemy to be thinking about me and his thought of me or her thought of me makes her miserable in a day. I want him to have a good day. Listen, be ye kind to your enemies. I'm done with this point. I want to recommend this as well. Don't mistreat the ones that mistreat. Don't be unkind to the ones that are unkind based on what I'm teaching you tonight. You see, you say, I love that sermon, preacher. Wow, that's a good sermon. That's a Jesus sermon. That's a sweet sermon. That's a lovey-dovey sermon. And I'll tell you what, preacher, I seen Brother Steed being unkind to Brother Nofsinger, and I told Steed he was a jerk and an animal, and he ought to stop it. I got him, preacher, because he wasn't kind. You see, if you're not careful, you can take a truth and you don't obey it, and you're unkind to somebody that was unkind to somebody. Hey, don't behave like those that are unkind. Don't lower yourself to their tactics. Here's what I'm saying. Don't criticize the criticizer. Don't hate the hater. Don't slander the slanderer. Don't attack the attacker. Don't be rude to the rude one. Don't be unkind to the unkind one. Don't snub the snubber. Is that a word? It is now. Don't snub the snubber. Don't be arrogant toward the arrogant one. Don't sling mud at the mudslinger. Don't try to justify your poor behavior on the basis of somebody else's.
He hit me first.
Grade schooler.
She said it to me.
Grow up, Christian. Don't gossip about the gossiper. So what do you want? Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Not a simpler sermon, I'm sure. Not impressive in its delivery, but I will promise you this. This is still what the Christian life is all about. This is what you and I are to do in this world. We were disgusted at the thought that young man took a gun and shot those people and was so unkind in Oregon. Disgusted. And I am even more disgusted when I watch Christians behave so rudely toward the lost, toward the saved. God expects better from us. Be ye kind. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. My first question is this. If you died tonight, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you say, no, I don't. I don't know that. I don't know if I died tonight I'd go to heaven. Then let me invite you to the Savior. You need to be born again. Jesus will save you. If you'd like to be saved, if you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, let me pray for you, first of all. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, if I died tonight, I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven. Pray for me. I'm concerned about that. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me? I don't know. I don't know for sure. God bless you. I see that hand. I see that hand. Someone else, you may put those hands down. For those that raise their hand, in a moment we're going to have a thing called an altar call. And what will happen is you'll see some people coming forward. There'll be people coming forward to pray. When they come forward, if you'll leave your seat and come forward, we'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. We won't try to embarrass you. We're not going to do that. That's not our intent. We just want you to know that you're going to heaven someday. And so those of you that raised your hand and said, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, if you'll come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Maybe even a friend will come with you. They won't mind that. They can bring you forward. Now, to the Christians, those of you that are saved and you say, I know I'm going to heaven, let me ask you this. Has God spoken to your heart tonight about this? Be ye kind. Be ye kind while you drive. Be ye kind even when you were right and they were wrong. Be ye kind within your home. Who here tonight would, with uplifted hand, signify to God, say, God, well, you've spoken to my heart tonight about this thing of being kind in the Christian life. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? God bless you. Of course, it's good for us all. You may put your hands down. Here's what's going to happen. In a moment, I'll signal the pianist. She'll begin to play. When she begins to play, we'll stand. Once we stand, if you need to come to this altar, you come. There's some of you need to come and pray about a burden. There's some of you need to come and pray about the kindnesses of life. There's some that need to come and get born again. But if you come, God will meet with you here at this altar. So here we go. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need to come to this altar? Will you come? Mrs. Owens, if you'll just come down this way. You can help April. If you're not sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. You come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you are a Christian, you might need someone to be patient with you because of your lack of kindness in life. Now listen, hey, just because you're married doesn't mean you're supposed to be unkind to each other. Say, oh, I've got a license to talk to her that way. Not scripturally. The Bible doesn't give you a license to be abusive and mean and rude and hateful. Be ye kind one to another. I believe in living right. I believe in doing right. But I also believe that we're to be good to people. We're to be kind to people. I'll remind all of us, let's remember, be kind to the brand new born again people. They need some space to grow. Be kind to lost people, so we have the chance of seeing them get born again. Be kind to the hurting people. Don't misjudge them. I think sometimes we want to pass judgment on people as if their illness is punishment. You don't know that. It could be, but that's up to God, not up to you. Be kind. People that sometimes turn their nose up, you don't know what they've been through in the day. You just don't know what they're facing and the pain that they face. And don't mistreat a family member because you didn't like their dad or you didn't like their mom or you didn't like their son or you didn't like their daughter. What an injustice for someone to dislike an associate just because of a connection, whether it be family or whatever. Don't be unkind to people like that. And when people's personalities differ from ours, it takes all personalities to get this thing done. And if you want to know who we're to be like, it's to be like Jesus. So if they're quiet or loud or strong or weak or odd, let's make sure that we're kind to them. When they fall, ere they be a new Christian or a seasoned Christian, be kind. Be kind to your enemy and be kind. Hey, don't mistreat the mistreater. Don't criticize the criticizer. Don't attack the attacker. Don't slander the slanderer. That's the way the Christian life is to be lived. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Be ye kind. Be kind, Christian. The piano will continue to pray. The altar is still open. You know, that's a good sermon for some of you that have brothers and sisters. You're mean to your brother. You're mean to your sister. You need to learn to be kind to them. Say, well, she just gets on my nerves, or he gets on my nerves. Well, I guess then that necessitates obedience to the be ye kind. There's somebody at work that has an odd personality, and you're rude and you're unkind to them. That's not right. That's not right. It's not right. And everybody knows those odd people in life. Learn to be kind to those people that even have oddities in their personalities. You know, some of the best Christians I have ever met are people that were odd in their personality. Some might call, or maybe the eccentric, those that just have that unique way about them. Be ye kind. Be kind. That's what God expects of you, and that's what God expects of me. Let's be kind to one another. I believe soul winning will help a church grow. I believe that proper doctrine will hurt a church grow. But I have seen, my experience is in an old-fashioned Baptist church, the thing that will hinder the church growth the most is the way people treat each other. It's the way they treat each other. Been a long time since I've had anybody leave my church over a doctrine. But you know what? You turn your nose up at them and you're mean to them or you're unkind to them and they say, I'm just not going back. That will drive the people off. Oh, and there's some that'll turn because of our doctrine. They'll turn because of our standards. Yes, they will. But let's let it be after we've been patient and kind and groomed and we were trying to grow them. Be ye kind. Be ye kind. The piano will continue to play for just a moment more.